welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Today we're going to talk about the abortion issue as we enter into the week in which tens of thousands will be gathering in Washington, D.C. for the annual March for Life. Coming this weekend will be the 45th anniversary of the passage of Roe v. Wade, the decision by the Supreme Court that legalized abortion in the continental United States. And it's been 45 years of this tragedy that has played out across America, and there have been good people of conscience that have risen up across the land to defend the unborn and to be champions for life for many years. Many of them were fighting this battle for many years and have since gone on. Dr. Wilkie, of course, who founded Right to Life right there in Cincinnati, Ohio, who was a strong influence on Dr. Nathanson, who was an abortionist himself, who came to conversion in faith in Jesus Christ, and then became a strong advocate for life. And there's been so many. Phyllis Schlafly, of course, who passed away last year with Eagle Forum, the president of Eagle Forum, was an ardent supporter for the life movement. But the beat goes on as a whole new generation of pro-lifers will be gathering in Washington. And I encourage you to look up the media. In fact, follow it on the website. If you can't be there in person on Friday, it will be this Friday, will be the March for Life. And they'll be walking up Pennsylvania Avenue to Capitol Hill, and where they'll hear personal testimonies of those who regret their decision for abortion. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Well, I have some special guests with me this hour to discuss this very important topic as we enter into the 45th anniversary, unfortunately, of the passage and the decision of Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion on demand in the continental United States. First with me on the program is Dr. David Prentice, who is the Vice President of Research at the Lozier Institute in Washington, D.C. And Dr. Prentice is no stranger to this program and, of course, to the Ohio Christian Alliance, as for a number of years, actually over 10 years, we fought to ban embryonic stem cell research, to ban human cloning and pro-life legislation at the Ohio State House, as at that time he was a professor at Indiana State University and would come and give expert witness on life science before the committees. Well, now he is doing his work in Washington and, of course, working with the Lozier Institute and some very important pro-life legislation that we're going to talk about. Dr. Prentice, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Chris. So good to be back with you.
Well, thank you, my friend. We're so glad that you're on today. And of course, a little later this hour, we're going to have Molly Smith, who is the president of Cleveland Right to Life. And of course, she's hosting a major pro-life conference here coming up in early March, in which I understand that you'll be one of the speakers at Bringing America Back to Life. Many of our listeners take in that two-day conference that's here in Independence, in just outside of Cleveland, and it's a wonderful pro-life conference, and we're glad that you'll be joining us for that as well.
Looking forward to it. It'll be great to be back in Ohio and among the pro-lifers there who have just been so solid in pushing these pro-life measures forward.
Well, that's right, and there's a number of pieces of pro-life legislation that we're pushing at the Ohio State House, and we've had some great accomplishments. In fact, you've come in to lend support over the years. In fact, last year, of course, was the Pain Capable a bill that passed and was signed by Governor Kasich. That was one of the successes of his administration. As he passed it into law, you came in and gave testimony on that. But on the federal level, and let's take a look at that, we'll get to the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. That's S-1922. But first, let's talk about a piece of legislation I understand that might be considered this week. It's called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Explain to us what this legislation is.
That's right, Chris. Our sources say that the House of Representatives may actually go ahead and have a vote on this piece of federal legislation this Friday, the morning of the March for Life. And, this is such straightforward legislation. You would think such common sense that how could anyone oppose it? Now, when people think of Born Alive, they might think, well, didn't we already pass that legislation at the federal level? There was a bill passed in 2002 and signed into law by President George W. Bush called the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. It passed the House and the Senate by huge margins. And all it really said was you want to recognize if an infant survives an abortion, they should be legally recognized as people, as individuals. Now, the unfortunate thing was that they didn't put any sort of teeth in that legislation. It recognized their legal existence under the laws of the United States, but it didn't provide any specific protections. And that's what this current bill that's come up would do. Again, it's the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, and really the name says it all. The idea that if an infant does survive an abortion, is still alive after that procedure, not only are they recognized legally as citizens, but this bill would put certain protections in it. And it's very simple and straightforward. It simply says that if that individual is alive, they should receive the simple, normal medical care that any infant delivered alive would expect to receive. It's very straightforward legislation. Unfortunately, in our country, we've seen several examples where those infants that do survive abortion are not given medical care. Jill Stanek, who works for the Susan B. Anthony List, I'm sure your listeners are familiar with her name, has testified before the House Judiciary Committee in the past about her own experience. She was a registered nurse, labor and delivery department at Christ Hospital in Oaklawn, Illinois. She found babies that were aborted and still alive that were just left to die. And she recounted, in fact, one horrifying experience where all she could do was sit and cradle a little baby who had been aborted because he had Down syndrome, who survived the abortion. She could just sit and cradle him for the time until he passed away. There are other similar stories, and your listeners are probably also familiar with the name Kermit Gosnell, a doctor, an abortionist in Pennsylvania, who deliberately snipped the spinal cords of babies who survived his abortion procedure. Late-term abortions, in fact. Babies who could have survived if given simple medical care. So what this bill would do is simply say that's what these little ones are due. They're due some simple medical care. Nothing out of the ordinary, just what you would do for any infant delivered at that stage.
Doctor, I'm sure you can quote for us the Hippocratic Oath that a doctor takes upon becoming an actual doctor. Would you quote that for us, please?
Well, I mean, I won't give you the whole thing, but the key part of that is that they should help or at least do no harm. I'm sure your listeners are familiar with that phrase. There are other parts of the Hippocratic Oath that say you should not procure an abortion for anyone. But to do no harm, to help, or at least do no harm. So these little ones, the most vulnerable among us, who have survived, in fact, an attempt to end their life, they should not be harmed. They should be helped. We've heard, in fact, from a couple of other survivors. Your listeners might be aware of Melissa Oden and Gianna Jessen, who are now adults, but who survived attempted abortions. Moving testimony. And they were at least given medical care and have survived and thrived and come back to talk about their own experiences and how we should give help and not harm to these little ones who have survived that attempt to end their life. They're recognized under law as citizens by the previous legislation. And all this bill would do now is put the simple protections that any one of us should expect once they've been delivered.
We're talking with Dr. David Prentice, who is the Vice President of Research at the Lozier Institute, a pro-life organization in Washington, D.C. We're talking about Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. The main sponsor was introduced by Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee. It is H.R. 4712. And encourage your representative to support this, because we understand that it could be on the House floor as early as Friday, which, of course, is the March for Life gathering in Washington, D.C., when there should be upwards of 500,000 people that will be marching in the streets of Washington, D.C. in a very respectful and solemn manner to recognize the sanctity of human life. And you're listening to News in Focus, and we encourage you to reach out and to learn about the pro-life movement. And stay tuned on this program, as we're going to continue to discuss the right-to-life issues as they are unfolding in Washington, D.C. You know, Doctor, last year's election in 2016 was a referendum on the life message. And President Trump, when he was candidate Trump, he talked about defunding Planned Parenthood. In fact, the RNC convention that was held right here in Cleveland, they made defunding Planned Parenthood as part of the party's platform, and it is their quest to see it done. Now, of course, during the Obama administration and during the passage of Obamacare, the Planned Parenthood made sure that funding of abortion was in their own funding was in Obamacare, ensconced within the law. And so without doing away with Obamacare, we still have funding of Planned Parenthood to the tune of, am I right in saying, $500 million a year?
Unfortunately, you are correct. Through several funding streams, but it's also part of Obamacare, your taxpayer dollars are going towards Planned Parenthood. And you know, what you'll usually hear is, oh, well, but that doesn't fund the actual abortion. Well, we all know that, you know, if you put money in the left pocket, that you could take it out and put it into your right pocket. That's what's going on there. Planned Parenthood tries to paint themselves as a group supporting women's health, but they are the largest abortion provider in the United States, to the tune of over 300,000 abortions a year.
Oh, God save us.
They pretty much cornered the market. One of our associate scholars actually did a study looking at the market share and compared to other companies, such as, you know, auto companies who might have a 10% market share or be able to corner maybe 15%. Planned Parenthood is over a third of the market in abortions in the United States, and we do need to defund them. They don't need our federal taxpayer dollars. They have plenty of other supporters, but they also face the fact that they don't really provide women's health care. Mostly what they provide is abortion, and their most recent report showed that their number of abortions is going up, and their number of other sorts of services that they claim to provide are going down.
Well, Abby Johnson, as you mentioned earlier, who worked in an abortion clinic, talked about how Planned Parenthood, it was about getting more prospective clients, pushing them towards abortion. When they got them within their grasp, that's what they would push them for. It was a money mill. It was a money maker. She said it was driving numbers to more and more abortions. We saw the expose of the hidden videos that had top-level officers within Planned Parenthood joking about the selling of body parts, of fetal body parts. This was disgusting to anyone who saw it. And thanks to social media and the new medium of being able to share these videos, this information would have never gotten out there. Maybe some churches would have shown it in the past, or some pro-life organization would hold a conference or a meeting and someone would have to wait to see the video. But thanks to the new medium of information through Facebook and Twitter and through the internet and YouTube and email, all of this was, folks were able to see these videos and to be shocked by them as to what they were hearing these officials at Planned Parenthood say. Now, Congress began some investigation. Where is that in the process, Doctor? Because we heard about Congress doing some investigation and the Justice Department as well of breaking of federal law. Is that going anywhere?
It actually is. There have been from both the House Select Panel that you're referring to, who did a very extensive investigation, as well as the Senate Judiciary Committee, referred a number of cases to the Department of Justice, and we know that several of those investigations are going forward. The FBI is starting to look into this. And so, you know, that is moving forward. And then there are also congressional moves to try and, again, cut off the money for this horrific trafficking in baby body parts, because that's what we're really talking about. Not only were the Planned Parenthood and the other abortion clinics making money, which is their main purpose, off of abortion, but then they were getting more money selling these baby body parts. I mean, we're talking about hearts and livers and brains, sometimes whole heads. It's horrific even to talk about it, and the videos, you know, people need to see those. David DeLayden and his colleagues did heroic work in exposing this, but now it does need to move forward. And in fact, there's another little congressional amendment that has been put onto one of the current funding bills up for consideration. It's called the Roby Amendment. Martha Roby is the House member who put this on, but it would just say we should not be giving any federal tax dollars for research on aborted fetal tissue. The research itself is frankly antiquated. I've testified, and our scholars have testified a number of places, that there's really nothing coming out to help patients. In the meantime, you're supporting trafficking of human body parts. And that should simply stop, and the federal money should stop. So this is another area of legislation that's moving forward in response to that expose.
Well, that's right, Doctor. And, you know, as we move forward, you know, ardently in the pro-life movement to continue to advocate for the unborn, to advocate for life, that children, abortion is a violent act, the dismemberment of humans within the womb, and exposing a light like the exposure of those videos showing behind the scenes, the very cavalier attitude, holding up of wine glasses, eating at fine restaurants, talking in a very cavalier manner about the selling of body parts of aborted children. Folks, if that doesn't touch your heart as to action, then I question your conscience. You know, and you may say, well, this is a very unpleasant subject. Well, you know, to abolish slavery, those who were abolitionists had to bring the gruesome truth of slavery, of what was a slave ship, of what was the condition of slaves on plantations. They had to bring that type of information to the public to churn public opinion against the slavery industry. You know, Doctor, we just saw again recently the Amazing Grace movie with William Wilberforce and the abolishment of slavery in Great Britain. And it took him years. And here we are, still 45 years after the 1973 decision on Roe v. Wade, in which the court basically said that life was in the womb was not a life, but it was a woman's choice to abort, to kill her child. This is horrific. And what we're doing now is through these various ways of investigations, through legislation, through education and knowledge, is to prick the conscience of a nation back to awaken that this is life. It's a gift of God, and no man or no woman has the right to take this life. And life begins at conception. We were told that there might be a statement from the president in the coming months as to his position on the life issue. Are you hearing anything more as far as an executive order as the president's position on life?
Well, we're not really sure about an executive order, but we were told just moments ago that the president will address the March for Life through a video.
Wonderful.
So that is great news. And you pointed out before, this has been a very pro-life president. The positions he's taking, one other one we want to mention, another piece of legislation that's actually coming, when he was candidate Trump, the president said if Congress would send him a bill to prohibit pain-capable 20-week abortions, that he would sign it into law.
Yes.
He made that pledge when he was still a candidate. Well, that bill has passed the House of Representatives and may come up for a vote, perhaps even within about a week after the March for Life, in the Senate. Now, it faces a tough pull in the Senate, but this is a bill that, as you know, as your listeners know, is law now in the state of Ohio. And in fact, in 20 states, this legislation is passed. It says, and science has clearly shown with ample evidence that at least by 20 weeks after conception, still in the womb, so about 5 months, you can feel pain. And in fact, excruciating pain comes, as you've mentioned, in terms of abortion. This would just simply say that shouldn't happen. That young individual should not be torn apart and subjected to such pain. The U.S. is one of only seven nations in the world that allows these types of late-term abortions. So here's another federal bill that we hope will come up for a vote very soon in the Senate. So I would encourage your listeners, Chris, to call up or text or phone or visit their federal representatives, their senators, and say, you need to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. You need to pass the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. We need to protect these lives.
Mm. Amen. And thank you, doctor, so much. Now, the bill number on the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act is S-1922 in the Senate. Did they take the House version or are they running the Senate version?
It's very close to the House version. So one or the other, we need to get it passed in the Senate.
Absolutely. Thank you, doctor, for joining us today. God bless you for the fine work that you're doing to protect the unborn through legislative initiatives in Washington. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
God bless you. That was Dr. David Prentice, Vice President of Research at the Lozier Institute. Look them up online and also the Susan B. Anthony list. Stay right with us. Don't go away. On the other side, we'll be talking to Molly Smith, the President of Cleveland Right to Life. We'll be talking about a major pro-life conference that's coming up here in Northeast Ohio in March, and you don't want to miss it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Shawnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Okay, and we're continuing with our program today as we're talking about the pro-life movement, as this Friday there will be tens of thousands, actually upwards of a half a million, that will be gathering in Washington, D.C. for the annual March for Life, making a strong statement to members of Congress of those who have come from all across the country to take a stand for the unborn. With me on the phone is our good friend Molly Smith from Cleveland Right to Life. She is the president, and they have a major pro-life conference that's coming up in March. We're going to talk about that, give you all the details. Molly, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Chris Long. It's wonderful to be with you this afternoon.
Well, thank you. And, of course, you know, a lot of cities across the country, in fact, there was a large one in Chicago, here in Cleveland. There were other marches for life this last weekend. Tell us what happened here in Cleveland last weekend.
Yeah, we had a very successful March for Life here in Cleveland. Chris, the weather was terrible. We kept getting reports that everything was going to get shut down, and we just stormed heaven and asked God to please make sure that he cleared the ways and the highways and byways so that we could get out there. And he did exactly that. We were able to continue on with our March for Life, and it was very cold. It was a lot of snow down on the ground. We had in total between the outdoor and indoor portion of the March for Life about 200 people turned out, which is one of our better showings for the March for Life, because a lot of people of course go to the DC one, but this was great. It was we had a keynote speaker was our very good friend and dear, incredibly wonderful woman, Catherine Davis, who is the co-founder of the Black Coalition, Pro-Life Coalition. And she came from Georgia. She was quite a shock when she arrived.
Yeah.
You can imagine with all the snow. But she was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. We were also able to listen to the state auditor, Dave Yost. And, of course, if any of you know Dave Yost, he's got the most wonderful pro-life story but with him and his wife, whose wife was adopted. And then we also had Mary Taylor came and spoke to us for a little while. Christina Hagen was there as well. So we had a really good show. We had several pastors that were there. It was really a nice event. Well, it wasn't a nice event. It was a very meaningful event. I don't like to call anything that's to do with the pro-life movement nice, because it's not. We wish that we could actually work ourselves out of having to do this, Chris, because that's the goal of having these marches, is that we can end abortion.
Well, that's exactly right. And we're 45 years after Roe v. Wade. And here we are continuing the fight and the struggle for life. And you're in the fight every day. Molly, your organization right here, Cleveland Right to Life in Northeast Ohio, the fine work that you're doing in advocating for life. And of course, encouraging legislators to move forward with pro-life legislation. Ultimately to abolish abortion, but also to put strict restrictions and to identify areas of protecting life. The Down syndrome bill that just moved through the Ohio House, one thing that we've seen as far as in recent years, in fact, I forget, it was one of the Norwegian countries where there's not even a single birth that's Down syndrome. They've actually done away with. So it's like a selective genocide on those children that are diagnosed in the womb with Down syndrome, and these couples having or women choosing not to bring them to birth. And yet, when this was passed and signed here in Ohio, you know, that night I was in the grocery store and I saw this couple with this little baby, and they were so happy. And this was just before Christmas. They were so delighted over this little child. And as I passed and turned the corner, I could see that the child was all big smiles and was a little Down syndrome baby. And they were the three of them were so delighted and having such a fun in the grocery store. So, you know, it just touched my heart, because I said, you know, this is what the pro-life movement's all about. This is what we're attempting to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, which one of us, there was the most poignant testimony from a Down syndrome man when it was reported that the Scandinavian countries are almost completely without any Down syndrome children. Mm. It was in Europe, I think, in Britain. And he said, you know, and the story and the words that he used, and one of them was, it really stuck with me, Chris. It was, you know, which one of you have got nothing wrong with you? Which one of us has got nothing?
That's right.
With us? If we're going to start targeting specific illnesses or specific disabilities, each and every one of us has something that we're
genetic, genetic problem, any kind of malnormity or propensity for certain diseases or conditions. I mean, where do you end? That's exactly right. I mean, you start down that path, then you start talking about designer children and eliminating this one, eliminating that one. Oh, well, this one has a propensity for diabetes. This one has a propensity for heart conditions. And you begin to weed them out. I mean, where do you end up? You're talking about Nazi Germany. You're talking about, this evil theory of a superhuman race. And that's what, mm-hmm. Which basically led to the Holocaust and mass killing and genocide. So, you know, absolutely. So people wonder, and I remember one woman coming up to me in one meeting, and she was furious about it. She was a nurse, and she said, well, you don't know what it's all about, you know, with Down syndrome children. There's people that don't want these children and all this. And she's in my face. I'm like, first of all, I'm thinking, how evil? And then I was trying to be appropriate to know how to answer her and just to double down and to talk and to use logic with her. Now, of course, as a nurse, she has seen, and there are unfortunate circumstances where there are parents who give birth to children and they don't want them. First of all, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, there is evil in the world, ladies and gentlemen. Just because someone doesn't want that child doesn't mean that this child wasn't a gift of God. And God help the child to be birthed to parents like that. But, you know, this is the status of where we're at, because the hearts of men and women are cold. Molly, that's why 45 years later, we're still talking and arguing and debating and disputing about life, is because the heart condition of man is very wicked. Is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is only through the love of Christ that we'll actually get to the other side of this. It will be our faith in him will get us past all what we're dealing with right now. And we're dealing with a lot, Chris. We really are.
Well, and you've dealt with so much over the years, and you've had some great speakers. And some of the ones that I think that are most moving is, of course, the personal testimonies. You've had everyone who was even working in the abortion industry, who got saved, who came to an epiphany and a recognition. This is evil. What am I doing here? God help me. You've had testimony of those who survived abortion. You've had testimony of those who have had abortion and had to have accepted Christ's forgiveness. And they talk about that. You know, folks, if you really want to understand the pro-life issue, you need to go on March 9th and 10th to the Bring America Back to Life conference right here in Independence. Molly, this is a tremendous event. First of all, how many people traffic through there in the 2 days?
There's 1,000 people per day that come in and participate in the event. So it is the biggest convention of its kind in the nation right now. We're hoping that it will be that one of the other cities will take over and be even bigger than we are, because that's the goal, is to have it. You know, we actually do have conventions in. We've sort of farmed it out. We help other cities to put one on. We have one in New York now, in New York State, in the city of New York. We also have one in Iowa. We will be having one in. It'll be our second one in New England. So we'll have one out in New Hampshire. So what we're trying to do is to take this whole idea of getting to the grassroots. Chris, the idea is to do this, to bring America back to life through paving the way to life. And the PAVE stands for, we will bring America back to life when we pray, when we act, when we vote correctly, and as we educate each other. And we need to keep that education going, because if we don't, it will all fall aside back. So it's through prayer, action, voting, and education, we will bring America back to life. That's what our simple goal. That's all it is. And you know what the wonderful thing that we have learned as we've been doing this, this will be our ninth year, the wonderful thing that we've learned is that the people that we invite to participate as presenters are just, for the most part, regular people like you and I. Somebody who picked up and did those four things.
Yes.
They prayed. All of them are strong Christians. They prayed. They acted. They got off the couch and they went and did something. They voted correctly, and they continue to educate. So it's just bringing those people to give our grassroots people a vision of what it means to be pro-life, what it means to be truly to be a Christian. And I, you know, by the time we're done with the 2 days, we have woken a sleeping giant. Honestly, the whole culture in Ohio certainly has changed since we've been putting on these conventions, Chris. We've seen, let's take the State House, for example. We've seen the State House going from, oh, well, you know, we'll pass some legislation, but we're gonna sort of tailor it to make it the easiest possible way for us to get this legislation through, so that at the end of the day, when we go back and we go to our voters again, we can say, well, we passed some legislation. That has stopped, because the grassroots now understand what it is that we've got to stand for. While we can do some sort of incremental legislation, any legislation that we put through has to be pure. You can no longer have, and we are insisting on this, you can no longer have exceptions for anything. If you say that you are pro-life, then you better be pro-life. You can't be pro-life except in fill in the blank. You know, I'm pro-life except in the case of a child that's been conceived in rape or incest. I'm a strong pro-lifer, except for a child who's got a fetal anomaly such as Down syndrome. We are seeing the actual grassroots change taking place as a result of really pushing forward this type of education. And it's not done easily, and it's not done quickly. It takes a full weekend every year. We put a full weekend, you know, into this education. But it is, I think, it's making a difference. You've been many times, you've seen it, and I think you also walk into there and you can feel people are activated there.
Absolutely. You have some great speakers. We just had Dr. David Prentice from the Lozier Institute. He'll be there. He was just on the program. You have the nationally known blogger, Matt Walsh, who does such a great job of articulating the pro-life conservative message to a whole new generation. You have the activist mommy, Elizabeth Johnson, who's had national attention with her issues. Of course, she took on Teen Vogue and the very pornographic images and the suggestions that they sexually exploited, suggestions that was in that magazine, made national acclaim, and Franklin Graham was supporting her. You have George Barna, who is a nationally known statistician. And so these are what a blockbuster lineup you have of speakers coming in wall to wall. Folks, this is a 2-day event. It's very affordable. We're going to get into the details here in just a minute, but it's also, mark your calendars for March 9th and 10th. So that's a Friday and a Saturday. So if you can't come the Friday because you're working, there is a dinner that night. And they always have a great speaker. Who's your speaker this this year on the Friday night dinner?
Friday night is Walt Heyer. And Walt is a former transgender. He his story is heartbreaking, actually. It's very sad, but it's by the same token, it's also very hopeful. Walt's grandmother actually abused him when he was younger. He ended up by having a sex change and became, I forget what his female name was after he'd had his sex change. But he lived that way for a while and then was healed, totally healed. And that's what he will talk about, is that this is an illness that people have. This is something that we need to help people that are going through this issue.
That's right.
And he then actually went back and had a reversal. So he talks about that all, how all of that happened, and why it's important that we are there for the transgenders that are going to be coming through the other side of this absolutely terrible tsunami that we're putting onto our culture right now.
Wow.
So we'll have Walt talking about this on Friday night. He will be our keynote speaker. Wonderful man. He and his wife will both be there. He's married. He's got children. He's just a great guy, absolutely great guy. And then on Saturday night is of course, Matt Walsh. And people all know Matt and love Matt. It'll be the second time he's been with us. A young man who is just dynamite. He just got a calling, and he listened to his calling, and off he went. Never went to university. Just has got the most incredible writing gift, incredible gift of being able to look at the culture and say, this is what's wrong. This is where I see what needs to be fixed. And he says it so eloquently that you have to just sit up and take note. So it's going to be great to have Matt with us again. So.
Well, that's right. And it's a great opportunity for networking for folks as well, because you have a number of exhibitors. They're there. We've been an exhibitor in the past. I'm talking to our staff about being an exhibitor again this year. I'll be in Israel that weekend, but our staff will be able to come and network and participate. Again, folks, we're talking about the Bring America Back to Life Conference right here in Northeast Ohio. This is an event you don't want to miss. It's March 9th and 10th. It's at the Embassy Suites in Independence. They always do a great job. They're a great hotel over there. The food's always been great at the dinners, by the way, Molly, as well. And I love some of the special music that you bring as well from some of the local schools. Tell us about that, because there's some great music during the program.
Yeah, that's a good point to that, and I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, because one-third of our participants over the weekend are students. That is anybody from the college age down. We have a huge group of students that come in every year, but we do have some schools that come in, and we have the beautiful Lyceum choir that comes in and sings every year, and it's an a cappella choir. They are absolutely phenomenal. Then we also have the Padre Pio choir that comes in and sings as well. They are also there. So if the music is lovely, the students are just delightful, absolutely delightful. That anybody that comes there will have the opportunity to talk to so many of these students, because most of the day of event volunteer work is done by our students. Excuse me, and they are delightful.
Yes, they are
delightful. So it's great to have the involvement of these students. You know what the interesting thing is, Chris, is that some of the students that started with us back 8 years ago are now part of the organizing committee. They are now out in the workforce. They are bringing more young people that were not involved before.
Wonderful.
All group of young professionals that are coming in as a result of some of those students that were with us 8 years ago. It's I love to see what God does. It's just amazing.
That is so wonderful, because that is the next generation of pro-lifers carrying the message forward. Hang on right there, Molly. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. We're talking to Molly Smith, the president of Cleveland Right to Life. We're talking about the Bringing America Back to Life conference coming up March 9th and 10th. We're going to talk about the heartbeat bill and pro-life legislation currently at the Ohio State House. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back with Molly Smith, the president of Cleveland Right to Life. Molly, do you have some young people that are going to the March for Life in Washington this Friday?
You know, we do, but we pretty well leave that part of it up to the schools to organize and the homeschool groups. Because, of course, as you can imagine, with putting on a convention like we are doing, we really don't have time to do both things.
Well, what's so great is there's such a network throughout Greater Cleveland, exactly. And so I'm sure there's going to be a very strong representation from Northeast. In fact, Ohio, there always is, which is so great.
There really is. But I would like to mention, Chris, that for those students who are not able to go to the March for Life this weekend, at the end of the week, we do have a youth rally for life right down on Public Square every year. This year it's going to be on the 23rd, which will give people a chance to get back. It's at noon on Public Square on the speaker's terrace. So if anybody would like to do, just go to our website, clevelandrighttolife.org, clevelandrighttolife.org. All the details is right there on the front page of the website. So anybody that missed out on the March for Life, there is an opportunity for you to speak. You, as a young person, can actually get up and speak with our bill horns and our speaker system, and you can blast out your message on Public Square on the 23rd of January.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, the young people, it's so important because they may have a friend that comes to them and says, I'm in trouble. And they will be there to be able to encourage them to choose life, not death. Not make a decision that you'll regret the rest of your life. So many people do. One of the poignant moments of the March for Life, Molly, is they walk solemnly, actually, on Pennsylvania Avenue, and they come up to Capitol Hill, and right at the Supreme Court, there is a group of folks there with a podium and a microphone, and it's people giving their personal testimony, both men and women, about the abortion that affected their life. And it's a very somber. I remember bringing my kids, and we were just there listening to the testimony of a very transparent public confession from these folks. And I'll tell you, it's one that will just, it will cause you to stand still and really think about what this is all about. Well, Molly, let's turn to the State House right now, because we do have some good legislators that are moving forward on pro-life legislation that we can all get behind. House Bill 258, the heartbeat bill, it continues again. This is like the third try at the Ohio State House, and sometimes it takes that. Sometimes it takes reintroducing a bill, starting over again, and pushing it through. You know, earlier this week, in observance of MLK Day, we watched the Amazing Grace movie at our home, and of course, it's the story of William Wilberforce, who worked as a parliamentarian in Britain in the 1800s, and sought his whole career to end the slave trade in Great Britain, and he did see it finally come to pass. He won over the hearts and minds of his fellow countrymen and saw the abolishment of the slave trade in Great Britain. Well, that's what we're seeking to do here with that every child is wanted, and abortion would be outlawed in the continental United States. It can happen.
Absolutely.
House Bill 258, the heartbeat bill. Tell us about that. Where is it at in progress?
It's still sitting there. It did not pass. It has been passed from the House Health Committee on a vote of 11-5 along party lines. But it's likely that it will be put on the floor in the near future. At this point in time, though, it is not out on the floor yet. So we have to keep the pressure on there to try to see if we can get the heartbeat bill up and running. The interesting thing is that there is also now a federal heartbeat bill, which is actually pushing its way through. It's got more sponsors in Congress than does the Pain Capable bill. So it's really gaining traction in at the federal level. And it's interesting because there seems to be, as there is in Ohio and in most places, the powers that be within the movement really are almost afraid of the heartbeat bill, I have to say. They are concerned about the fact that it won't hold up to a court challenge. The rest of us that support it say, bring it on. We are prepared to fight this.
Well, that's so right.
Yeah.
And Dr. Wilkie supported, before his passing, the heartbeat bill. Remember having an intimate conversation with him, and he said, Chris, we've got to do this. People understand that when a heartbeat is beating, it's a life, and general public knows that. We need to push it right now. So thank you, Molly. Thank you for all the great work that you're doing at Cleveland Right to Life. Again, folks, visit their website, clevelandrighttolife.org, and don't forget the Bring America Back to Life conference. Again, what are the dates on that, Molly?
March 9th and 10th, bringingamericabacktolife.org. bringingamericabacktolife.org. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you. God bless you, my friend. Well, again, if you missed any of today's program, you can go to our website at ohioca.org. Please tell a friend and tune in each week to News and Focus. We're glad you've joined us. God bless and good night.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.